If you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Welcome back to Your Valley Sports Plug. This is your Super Bowl 60 preview, the Seattle Seahawks versus the New England Patriots in Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. It is Thursday, February 5th, 2026. I'm your host, Chris Patrick, joined tonight by my co-host, Michael Benjamin. Mike, the big game is just 3 days away. You know we had to hop in here and break it all down for the people. So tonight, man, how are you doing?
I am doing great, Chris. The big game approaches. We always talk about how this is one of the best and worst times of the year because it is the final football game of the year. But I have a feeling this is going to be an instant classic. I can't wait to dive into this one. We got a lot on the docket for tonight. But I'm ready, man. Let's roll.
Hell yeah, absolutely, man. You know, you're right. It is bittersweet being the end of the football season. It's like the shortest season out of any professional league. It feels like it's over before you even know it got started. But alas, I think that's what makes it so much sweeter and makes us soak it all in. And you're right, the Super Bowl should be a good one, a matchup of the two best teams in the league, two teams that are 14-3. As much as people want to say that it's not as much of an illustrious Super Bowl matchup as we've seen in the past, I still think there's plenty of intrigue here. So we'll get into all that. But before we do, I want to thank you all who are tuning in live or catching us back on the replay. We really appreciate you from the bottom of our hearts. We go live right here on our YouTube channel every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Arizona time. Each stream is available for immediate playback right here on our YouTube channel and audio only next day on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and just about anywhere else you can listen to podcasts. So please, while you're here, give us a like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hit that notification bell so you can know when we're going live and get that right to your phone. And you never know. Every once in a while, you might just get a bonus Thursday stream like you are this week. We had to double up for you. We couldn't leave you hanging with no Super Bowl preview. So, Mike, let's get into it. The Patriots and the Seahawks. I know here in the Valley, and me personally, historically, I don't like either of these teams very much at all. But honestly, man, like, it's kind of hard to hate either of these teams. Would you agree?
At this moment in time, especially probably as Arizona Cardinals fans, the rivalries that we have known to hate the most have come from from California. So Seattle always kind of finds itself as our distant cousin. And the other thing I would say too, specifically for Arizona Cardinals fans, over the past decade, and we're stretching to a decade at this point, we have had success specifically in Seattle with some big game wins. But man, it just is always crazy to look at all the metrics in regard to the teams that really make the Super Bowl. And both of these squads, while there have been ebbs and flows, have consistently been the best of the best. The best leadership, the best coaching, and what elevates those players, all of those aspects, man. That's why you find these two best teams in it at the end of this year. The Seattle Seahawks, they caught me off guard, Chris. I famously said I think that they would be the easy pick to be the worst team in the NFC West. Now, I wasn't pinpointing them like the Arizona Cardinals. I didn't think they were going to win four games, okay? But I think there was just a lot of unknowns. Even after Sam Darnold's great year that he had with the Minnesota Vikings last year, you're going into a second year with Mike McDonald at the helm, changing offensive coordinators to Clint Kubiak. And obviously the New England Patriots with their first-time head coach Mike Vrabel and a second-year quarterback in Drake May, you just didn't know that these teams were going to flip it so quickly, man. And this matchup, it's a tasty one, man. The Seattle Seahawks offense is rolling at an all-time high. You talk about what Sam Darnold was able to do in the NFC Conference Championship game against the LA Rams. You look at what the Patriots defense was able to do. Yes, I know it was against Jared Stidham, but going on the road to Denver in a crazy climate with the sleet, the snow, all that kind of stuff to be able to hold on with a 10-7 crazy victory. we're going to talk about the last time that these two teams matched up in the Super Bowl as well, which was right in our backyard in Glendale at State Farm Stadium. But I think this is just a can't miss matchup, Chris. And I hope I think most of America feels the same way.
Yeah, I find it hard to disagree with that. And I mean, for the players playing in the game too, there's not really like any hateable people for my money. I mean, if you think about this being the rematch of the Super Bowl in 2016 with, or 10 years ago, whatever it was with the Seahawks.
2015. Yeah.
2015.
49. So technically it was 11 seasons ago.
Whew, wow. That just tells you how fast the time is flying. But if you think about those teams, like, yeah, guys like Richard Sherman, really unlikable. A lot of people didn't like Tom Brady just simply for his success, or Bill Belichick. I know I really never liked Bill Belichick. Kind of a smug asshole. But man, yeah, you know, with these guys, Drake May, the young guy, we talked about it when we were going over the conference championship games, and he's on track to be the second youngest guy to ever win a Super Bowl. I think he's the third. Well, I guess he's not on track. He's still got to win, a lot of work to do, but he is the third youngest, I believe, to play in a Super Bowl, which is honestly incredible when you talk about those quick turnarounds that you mentioned, with Vrabel only being under the helm in New England for a couple of years now. Granted, he's made a big impact, and seeing the clips of him with his players, like, he really is like a player's coach. Of course, being a former player, I'm sure he got to see a lot of, and he had a lot, good long career too, but my point being, he got to see a lot of coaching and coaches, got to watch how Belichick did it. And I'm sure he was like, I like what he did there, didn't like what he did there. So when I'm a coach, this is how I'm going to do things. And he's really taken that and run with it. With the Seahawks, though, I mean, I think their fan base might be a little surprised too, whether they want to admit it or not, because you think about last season with Geno Smith, having to ship him out and not really living up to the hype that he expected. Sam Darnold's unceremonious exit from the playoffs last year against the Rams, that game we were in attendance for, people thought he was seeing ghosts again. So it was like, really? Do you really want Sam Darnold? But he's bounced back in such an incredible way. Over 4,000 passing yards that you can see there. The emergence of JSN onto the scene has just been incredible. And for most of the season, both of these teams had a pretty good 1-2 punch at running back. The Seahawks with Walker and Charbonnet, who is on IR now, unfortunately. And then Henderson and Stevenson on the Patriots side. So really, really intriguing matchup for me. But I think what is most interesting is the teams that aren't in this game or didn't even really make it to the playoffs, most of them, and then some of them not very far. When you think about the, if you want to call them like maybe the blue bloods of the NFL, right? You got the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Bills, even the 49ers and the Rams you could throw in there, the way their seasons had gone. But I think it's refreshing, honestly, because I was getting so sick of seeing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and it was great. It's been great to see them lose a couple, but man, this matchup is a breath of fresh air. I mean, so when we look at, you know, the narratives and dive a little bit deeper, the Patriots already have the record for the most Super Bowl wins of all time with 6. And they're looking to add a 7th onto that one, man. For that reason alone, would you be tempted to root for the Seahawks in this game?
Chris, there is no world that I would find myself rooting for an NFC West rival. We've already had this discussion. If you're in a different boat, say you're a fan of the Eagles or you're a fan of the Cleveland Browns, and you don't really have a dog in this fight, I understand the people who are putting their money and their favor behind the Seattle Seahawks, because my goodness, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago where Tom Brady was leading the Patriots to their 6th Super Bowl. Overall, it's been what, 6 seasons, maybe a little bit longer than that, but this is a brand new franchise overall in leadership and players, if you think about it. So it is a new era for the New England Patriots. Yes, Robert Kraft is still the owner, but you talk about successes, starts from the top. He was able to find the guys that are taking these players to the next level. Because, I mean, like, Chris, like we talked about, just look at this New England Patriots team. Is there anybody that jumps off the page where you say that they are bona fide superstars? I know Drake May has had a good season for sure, but the numbers don't catapult off the page for you. Stephon Diggs, some could say a while ago, he just isn't the same kind of player. Kayshon Boutte has a great one-handed catch, but he's still a relative unknown. And, you know, guys on the defensive side like Christian Gonzalez, they're stars in their own right, but it's basically coming back to the Patriots way. And you see it from the way that Mike Vrabel coaches through his successes in Tennessee, either the Derrick Henry, it was a cast of characters coming together to get overall success. And you're seeing it so quickly with the New England Patriots. I think it just only made sense that they were going to see success early when he first came in, because that was where he learned everything from Bill Belichick. So I understand people, you know, maybe have a bad correlation to Tom Brady's days. And what do we always know? And we've seen it pretty recently with the Kansas City Chiefs. When teams have continued success, you're always rooting for the other team. So I understand that. But with the Seattle Seahawks being a direct rival of the Arizona Cardinals, I can legitimately never, ever root for them. So easy question for me to answer. And also, I will say, I have Boston blood. My dad grew up in Boston, so that doesn't hurt. I wouldn't even consider the Patriots as like my second team. You know what I'm saying? But it doesn't hurt to have those ties, you know?
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. I mean, anyone who's listened to Valley Sports Plug long enough knows that I have those Pittsburgh ties. So it would be the same. If Pittsburgh was playing in this game, I'd be rooting for them as well. But Mike, I mean, does the four-time Pro Bowler Stephon Diggs not count as a superstar when it comes to the Patriots? Or since he's past his prime, it's kind of not.
Ask anybody around the league, would they consider Stephon Diggs as a top 10 NFL wide receiver nowadays? If you're not considered within the top 10 of your position, I don't think you get to be considered as a superstar. I'm not throwing shade at Stephon. It's just Father Time is undefeated and he is getting a little bit older. I'm not saying he isn't a catalyst for their successes this year. He's had, you know, the end of this season has definitely, you know, he's gotten a lot more involved. You saw him with a nice touchdown catch against the Houston Texans as well, but he's just not the same player. So I can't categorize him as a superstar. The only person that's on the cusp of superstardom for the New England Patriots, I would say, Chris, is Drake May. And he's so young. He still has a lot to prove, but he's going in the right direction.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you're right. I mean, Stephon Diggs is probably, I struggle to find a word other than superstar, but I would say that in name only and reputation versus, to your point, he's not a top 10 receiver in the league. I wouldn't even say he's a top 10 receiver in the AFC, honestly, but that's fine. Cause he's probably there to be sure handed, maybe be a veteran in that wide receiver room and kind of coach up these young guys. But I don't know, Mike, how quickly people forget that we talk about Chiefs fatigue over the last 10 years. But in our lifetime, the Patriots went to 9 Super Bowls, not in a row or anything, but 9 Super Bowls and won 6 of them. So they already have that record, with the next closest teams being the Steelers and the Cowboys with 5. But those were so long ago. I mean, it hasn't been all that long, relatively speaking, since the last Patriots Super Bowl win. It's like, I know a lot of people are making the jokes, and I've seen the memes of, how can both teams lose? And I don't even know. We might have even made that joke on one of our live streams of can we have the Dark Knight intro where the field crumbles out beneath everyone? And I don't know, maybe with everything going on with that power station by the stadium, but we'll get into that in a little bit here. But yeah, what is the Seahawks will help Patriots make Super Bowl history, win or lose. So no team has made more Super Bowl appearances than the Patriots. That's exactly what we're talking about here. And it's continued. And I think that's what rubs a lot of people the wrong way, is like, man, we just got out of a decade plus of Patriot success, and now they get to be good again. It's not even fair. And you bring that here locally, like, how come the Cardinals never get to be good? Like, Patriots get to be good for a decade and a half, be bad for half of a decade, and then now they're good again. It's just the rich get rich, but
You got to let me jump in
please,
on this.
Please, yes, yes.
I know people are fatigued, but it truly comes down to leadership. Everything about sports is about the leaders picking the right voices to coach these individuals to the main goal. And man, is it hard to garner all of those different personalities together under one roof and say, don't be selfish, don't be complacent, this is our only goal. And it's so hard to have everybody buy into the same goal, even though you would think, right, like, oh, okay, I'm going to play in the NFL. What's the only goal? Or I'm going to play in a professional sport. What should be my only goal as a player? Somebody to help the team reach the ultimate goal, which is to win a championship. But you know that's just not how it is. I would say, you know, since the 1990s, Chris, with the evolution of social media, the catapulting of athletes to superstardom outside of the game, you know, now we have athletes who are movie stars. We have athletes who are doing advertisements for this, that, and the other. Some guys don't care about garnering the team notoriety, but their own. So they get selfish and they just worry about the numbers. We could go down the laundry list of all those kind of guys, but it comes back down to the leadership, more specifically to the owners who are making those ultimate decisions of who is going to coach all these players and get the correct message across. That's why I will give Seattle the credit. That's why you consistently see those same teams at the top or consistently finding themselves farther into the playoffs. Now, I will say, you know, teams like the Buffalo Bills who have a generational quarterback in Josh Allen, the leadership has just been a little bit short. So then you get dragged along to the successes by those incredible great players. But what eventually ends up happening? They fall short consistently time and time over again. You could say the same thing with Lamar Jackson. But where do these upper echelon franchises consistently find themselves? Sometimes they have a little bit of dark times remaking themselves. But if you look at it, how long were the dark times for the Patriots comparative to the 20 years? How long were the dark times for the Seattle Seahawks before, once again, after the Russell Wilson era, going into another one? And crap, Chris, you could even say, I mean, the Geno Smith era for the Seattle Seahawks wasn't in the dumps. They were making the playoffs consistently. So it's all about leadership. It's all about who's in charge. And we'll bring it back to the Valley. That's why the Arizona Cardinals have been consistent losers, because the leadership is just not there. Yet, we are hopeful, but that's for another conversation.
That's the spirit. It's never too late to turn it around. But that is such a good point, is the consistency. I mean, we'll move off the Patriots here in a second. But when you look back at them historically, they did that for so long with one quarterback and one coach from 2002 to 2019. And looking at this, I didn't realize Tom Brady's first Super Bowl win was against the Rams. And his last one with the Patriots was also against the Rams in 2019. Well, that's a fun fact. But yeah, man, I think it's just, you know, when we talk about even the Chiefs, they've done all that with Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid. So it's like, it's that consistency. And like, just to talk about the Cardinals for a second, we got this new younger head coach in here that could have a long career ahead of him. Now, who's going to be that next franchise quarterback? Those are questions for another day, without a doubt. But before we move on, talking about the Patriots, Tom Brady did come out and have some interesting comments that have rubbed a few expatriates the wrong way. I don't know if you saw this, Mike, but when asked if he would be cheering for the Patriots in the Super Bowl, he said he doesn't have a dog in the fight. Does that strike you as odd for a team that he played so the majority of his career for and had all of his success with?
It does. Yes, obviously. Now, I know, as Radio Row has been going on over the weeks, and even if you think back to previous years, you start hearing from all these other players, especially guys that have played for multiple teams over their careers. That's when it becomes hard to say, where is my dog in this fight? Because you have allegiances to both franchises. You have friends who have played in both places, you know, guys who are probably coaching there. So then it gets hard because you don't want to be that friend who is pulling for one over the other. I get it. Tom Brady is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and on the bust is going to be a Patriots logo. So you can miss me with that. I know he has ownership within the Raiders organization now. They're trying to change the narrative for what has happened there as well over the past couple of years. You could say, going back to kind of the stain that happened with John Gruden, them letting one-time coaches go. And now, you know, having to let Pete Carroll go, have the first overall pick and change those kind of courses. So that's where his focus is nowadays. But Tom, you're not going to fool anybody, or you're not going to be looked at any other way if you say, yeah, let's go Patriots. That's where you literally built your legend. So miss me with that. That's literally the only thing I can say about that.
Man, 100%. And leave it to Tom Brady to just be way too serious and like buttoned up. Like, yeah, we get it. You're part owner of the Raiders. You're all up in there. You're like being like, and what's weird is he, if he was that serious, why is he also doing broadcasting? Like, just go 100% be on the Raiders. But I guess that could also be a part of it. He wants to be loyal to the Raiders and he wants to remain neutral as like a commentator. Cause you know, you can't be in the booth being a fanboy. You got to pretend to be neutral, but these guys all have biases. They all grew up watching or playing football. And yeah, man, like you're not going to fool anybody, dude. Like just say, yeah, I'm pulling for the Patriots. It'd be cool if they won. I don't know. But it honestly doesn't bother me because at the end of the day, I don't care what Tom Brady thinks. Last thing, Mike, something I find interesting. If the Patriots do win, Joshua Dobbs will get a Super Bowl ring.
The astronaut. Let's go. You know, I will say the Arizona Cardinals era with Joshua Dobbs, though it was short, there were semblances of sweetness. And you can think back to that Dallas Cowboys win, I think in week 3. We knew what the expectations were for that Arizona Cardinals team, which was to lose games. But I think it was a breath of fresh air when we saw that Colt McCoy was not going to be able to just throw the football 10 yards down the field. And for them to make that quick change to get Joshua Dobbs in here and him to, you know, move the offense the best that he could. Yeah, always rooting for those kind of guys to find success, man. He is, you know, the definition of a journeyman. He's going to be a backup quarterback forever at this point. I think, unfortunately, was given the reins a couple times, specifically that season too, to see if maybe he could make his Geno Smith or Sam Darnold renaissance. But he is what he is. So love me some Joshua Dobbs, man. Am I going out to get his jersey tomorrow with the patch on it if they do win? No, but I think it would definitely be well-deserved with all the hard work that he's done to stick in this league for so long. And I know he's a class act and people love him. So let's go, Josh.
Yeah, most definitely. I would not be upset watching him get a ring. And like you said, it's not like he played here in Arizona for a long time. Now, he did play a vital role in that season where Kyler Murray was out in stepping up in a big way. But, you know, I would be happy for him at the end of the day if he won it. So, I mean, here we go. Let's go, Josh. But you did briefly mention there the Sam Darnold redemption or renaissance, I think you said. And man, what a story, honestly. I mean, he came into the league in 2018 for the New York Jets, and it's just impossible to be successful at any position when you're playing for the New York Jets. But man, he came so far from the famous seeing ghosts situation to being diagnosed with mono and missing 3 games in 2019. Then he moves on. He goes to play for the Panthers for a couple years, goes and plays in San Francisco. I don't think he even played in San Francisco. He was more or less just a backup out there, right? And to where he finally landed in Minnesota in 2024 with J.J. McCarthy out, they needed someone to step in. And he did show up, 14-3 records, same as these two Super Bowl teams here have. And they were rolling, surprised a lot of people to get there and just came up short in that last final game of the season in the playoffs against the Rams in State Farm Stadium. Kind of a weird thing. But at the end of the day, man, what he's done this year with the Seahawks is nothing short of incredible. You think of a guy who was kind of labeled a bust and on the way out of the league, but on the way to maybe just being a backup and one of those journeymen like a Josh Dobbs or a Jacoby Brissett, where it's like, yeah, he's serviceable. He can win you a couple games if you need him to, but you're not going to want to roll him out there for an entire season. To where now it's like teams are like, man, I wish I had me a Sam Darnold. Who can I, like you just said, who can I get and turn into the next Sam Darnold, where I can find a quarterback that's been given up on who maybe just didn't have a fair shake at it. And so, I mean, I think people are going to start looking at Jets quarterbacks and thinking if they could retread him. I'm only joking. I mean, I know that the Jets are always the butt of the joke, because I mean, you talk about a miserable franchise. That's got to be one of the lowest, honestly, possibly lower than the Cardinals, if you can imagine that. But Mike, so much to talk about with Sam Darnold's redemption, and I want to touch on as much of it as we can. But where I wanted to start is some comments that were made by his former teammate Justin Jefferson in the last few weeks, and kind of shook things up. They asked him about Sam Darnold's success, and he said, "It's definitely tough. It's a tough watch. Of course, I love that he's in the Super Bowl. I'm happy for him. I want nothing but the best for him, especially the way his journey was at first, people doubting him and people not giving him the respect. Now they're giving him that respect. Now they're seeing that he's a top-tier quarterback in this league. Of course, selfishly, I wish that he had done that for us last year, but to see him blossom and bounce back right after last year and make it this year, I'm all happy for him, and I hope he wins. I'm rooting for Seattle, and I think Seattle's going to win. I'll be rooting for him." Honestly, I don't think that's bad. I do think Justin Jefferson, it's probably hard for him because, you know, he's at the height of his career. He is one of the top 10 wide receivers in this league, probably. But what do you make of those comments? Do you think his teammates should be offended by it, or do you think it's just like happy for his boy?
Now, are you saying the Seattle Seahawks teammates are offended by his comments? Is that what you're saying?
No. I guess I don't want to take the focus too much off Sam Darnold, but do you think that Justin Jefferson's Minnesota Vikings teammates take offense to him saying that he's happy for Sam Darnold and finding success?
No, because I feel like the majority of them probably are thinking the same in regard to hopefully that Sam is, you know, having the successes outside of their own franchise, because he was able to help them get to probably places that a lot of people didn't think they would go last season. Now, did it crash and burn? I mean, literally, you could say something's burned. LA was burning at that point, but it's funny to hear Justin Jefferson's comments because I get a little sense of selfishness within them, because he is looking at it from the scope of this guy not being able to get us to the promised land how he has in the other aspect. But hey, we always know wide receivers have a little bit of diva in them. That's how they get to become great, which I'm not going to hold that against them. The thing that's just crazy about Sam Darnold, man, is because I feel like this was literally a last ditch effort. And I'm going back to last season with what happened, because if you think about quarterbacks who were drafted very high in the draft, which I think he was third overall to New York, did not work with the Jets organization, jumped around to different places, Carolina, San Francisco. And even when he went to Minnesota, he was not supposed to be the starting quarterback. They had made that first round selection of JJ McCarthy for him to be the future. And what happened? I think he tore his ACL in the preseason. So Sam was kind of thrust into duty. But what's my favorite thing to always say? When you are given those opportunities, the great ones show the merit and really kind of, you know, put themselves into a place of positivity, which is exactly what he did last year in Minnesota. And you saw that Seattle didn't take, you know, too much off of what happened in that NFC wildcard game. They saw the positives. They saw what he could do. And they knew that the time frame for Geno Smith was done. So they gave him another opportunity, and it's been glowing. And we've seen the successes so far within Seattle. You know, great teams are always just that small piece away. And Sam Darnold has been a catalyst for that. I mean, you talk about his numbers. Last year, he did have better numbers. He had 35 touchdowns last year. But this year, 25 TDs, 67.7% completion percentage, the best completion of his career. I mean, this is the first back-to-back seasons that he's actually played every single game in all 17 games. He's thrown for over 4,000 yards in all those games as well. So just for a guy to be in his eighth season, where it just seemed like so little ago he was on the outs to turning the narrative, you really have to be, you know, as much as New England is technically the underdog story and the underdog from a betting aspect, Sam Darnold is the ultimate underdog for the Super Bowl. And I think a lot more people are going to be in his corner rooting for his success this time around.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to root for a guy like Sam Darnold, and everybody loves a good underdog story, a good comeback story. But I hate that, you know, I hate the fact that in a sense the offense is going to get all the love here for both teams. They have the more notable players on either side of the ball, but obviously these teams both have good defenses too. And when you look back at the Rams defense that they went up against, the Minnesota Vikings went up against in that playoff game last year, it was tough, man. They picked off Darnold. I think he had a sack fumble in that game, but it wasn't all his fault. The final score of that game was 27-9. And I just don't think that the Vikings defense honestly really showed up the way they needed to. So I hope there aren't any Vikings fans out there blaming Sam Darnold. I'm sure they're all, like you said, a little selfishly envious that he wasn't able to take them to the promised land. But I think you got to be happy for Sam Darnold. And to come back from that now, like I said, people are looking at guys like Mac Jones to see if they can pick him up and turn him around, turn him into the same thing. And I almost wonder if the Arizona Cardinals are going to get in on some of that action. I thought it was kind of funny. Like, people were saying, like, Geno Smith, it's not the teams that are bad. Geno Smith just makes the team bad because he did terrible with the Seahawks. Then he goes to Las Vegas, makes them terrible. But as far as Sam Darnold goes, it's funny. I saw a post, and I'm kind of all over the place here because I don't know, like, a lot of angles. This guy seems pretty low key, but I did see it was part of the media day. Sam Darnold and Drake May were up there taking pictures or answering questions or something. And someone had screenshotted it and was like, can you even remember a Super Bowl with less aura than this Super Bowl right now? Mike, do you think that with Sam Darnold and Drake May that this is kind of a Super Bowl that's lacking aura, as the kids would say?
I mean, you're asking the 35-year-old guy to define aura. Chris, I don't even know if I know what it is. No, the description of aura comes down to the individual. I think the only aura that I need is two good football teams playing the best football at that time when they match up for the last one. Because like we said, this is the last football we get to watch for what? 7 months, 8 months. I need a good game. I cannot have a repeat of the Eagles Chiefs game last year. So aura be damned, bring me the best teams overall. Then you're going to have all the aura you need. Trust me. That's all we care about. Or should care about, you know?
That's all you should care about, man. I mean, at the end of the day, I think everyone, any football fan should just want to see a good game. And the aura that you see is really going to be on the field. I don't need them to win the press conference or have some fun quips pre or post game. Just show me some damn good football. And I mean, it's honestly, like I said, it's not like the old Tom Brady Patriots had like incredible aura either. Obviously Tom Brady, tremendously handsome and the ladies loved him, but that isn't exactly, maybe that is aura. I don't know. Someone let us know in the comments if you think this matchup has aura. But Mike, when we talk about the Super Bowl narratives, there are a couple of out there ones that I want to go over. Cause I think we'd be doing a disservice to the people if we didn't talk about them. I sent you one that you didn't know about, but I also sent you one that I think you might have heard about. So I want to start with the, since we're only a little over 30 minutes in, let's start with the little more family-friendly one. And that is this kind of tinfoil hat, kind of tongue-in-cheek, fun little conspiracy theory about surrounding injuries, energy fields, and a strange theory that has made its way to the Super Bowl. It was an inside joke among San Francisco 49ers players, but essentially, as far as I understand it, there's some myth concerning a local electrical substation that's right next to the stadium. So we have it pulled up here on the YouTube stream, a tweet from Chase Sr. He said, "This is a big development. When Levi's Stadium opened, the electrical substation next to the 49ers practice field and stadium expanded, making it more powerful with a potential 2,000% increase in capability. May have shut down the 49ers injuries, EMF theory, saying the 49ers have practiced there since the 1980s and there were no injuries then, but the expansion of the substation in 2014 coincides with the start of the Niners injury problems as an organization." And then it has some pictures there to kind of show you how it's really grown in size. Mike, I'm not a scientist. I wish we had Josh Dobbs here to explain it for us. But do you think there's anything to this, or is it just kind of like an inside joke where, oh, man, we're so injured. It's got to be something out of some other forces beyond just, you know, bad luck, right?
That'd be great. Yeah, I'd love to get an inside scoop from Josh Dobbs, especially somebody who played for the San Francisco 49ers just last year. I'd love to know. It's like, hey, did you feel any, were your joints less compact when you in your short time in
were you getting headaches?
Yeah, that'd be great. I don't know. I mean, obviously I'm not a scientist like we talked about, but we know that, you know, energy frequencies can have an effect. How, to what extent, I do not know. But it's just, you know, when the numbers start coming out and there's coincidences that go alongside, as this substation started pumping out more energy and the injuries have consistently creeped up for this organization in the past decade, I think you got to try and look everywhere you can, because you can't always just blame the people that are in the building as far as strength and conditioning and that kind of stuff. I know a lot of Arizona Cardinals fans wanted to do that this year with the injury problems that we had, but trust me, we've seen fluke injury seasons the same way. Guys, we saw it the year that the Arizona Cardinals went to the NFC Championship game. It was the next man up mentality under Bruce Arians. So throw that to the side. Injuries happen, but the way that they consistently have been happening for the San Francisco 49ers, I would say more so over the past 5 years, is a true cause for concern. So I know John Lynch came out the other day and said, yeah, we're going to look into it. I don't blame you. Look into everything you can. I mean, I love a good theory. You know me. Am I the number one tinfoil hat guy all the time? No, but I will give the platform to a good conspiracy theory. And this is a great one, man, because who knows? Could be true.
Yeah, no, it really is. And maybe we need to start having them look down by the mortgage matchup center too for some power. You know, I agree, man. Leave no stone unturned. But it's funny, I pulled up this article to kind of get the little bit of a gist of it, and I didn't read down far enough, but I pull it up now because it's funny. It says backup Patriots quarterback Josh Dobbs, an aerospace engineer who spent last season with the Niners, said he wasn't told about the substation when he signed with San Francisco, but the facility stood out the moment he rolled up to the team headquarters. I saw it was there right next to the pool. Like, you can't miss it, Dobbs said at the Patriots facilities in Santa Clara. He doubted the Niners' injuries were connected to the substation, but said he couldn't rule it out either. Football is a game that's centered around injuries, right? And trying to be as sustainable as you can. It's a violent sport and they play physical football, Dobbs said, referring to the Niners. But I don't know. There's no reason not to look into it, right? So even Josh Dobbs, the aerospace engineer, thinks that, you know, hey, where there's smoke, there might be fire. I think you need to look into this a little bit. There's also some other anecdotes in here. One player said he looked over the fence and all the trees are dead around it, and you know, he's like, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but I mean, hey, if they can move that substation, I think, you know, you got to try anything you can. Looking at the overhead pictures, it is kind of a massive area, and I mean, they could put like a parking garage or something there, make it easier for the fans. I don't know, but honestly, Mike, is it selfish of me to say, like, I don't care if the 49ers, it's probably bad to say I don't care if 49ers players get injured, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's bad, Chris. Don't say that.
We don't want any injuries. We want the best opponents, the best football. But
don't say that. But hey, dude, so here, you know, add fuel to the fire. Neither the New England Patriots or the Seattle Seahawks are practicing at the San Francisco 49ers facility for Super Bowl 60. It looks like the Patriots are going to be at Stanford, and then the Seahawks will be at San Jose State University. But of course, you know, the national media, they got to come out, hit you with the article and says it has nothing to do with that. But it's something that has to add fuel to the fire. Come on, folks. Come on.
Naturally, they're going to want to come out and debunk it and ruin all of our fun. Nothing to do with the substation. Yeah, I'm sure it's just a normal, you know, you don't want to show favoritism to one team or the other, you know, practicing at the site, yada, 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 whatever. But I don't know, man. I like a good conspiracy theory. You can call me a conspiracy theorist. I don't mind it. Oh, but Mike, there was another story I want to talk about as far as narratives go, and then see if you had anything for us. But I texted you about this one today, and I don't think you had seen this one. This one might have flown a little bit under the radar. I'm not sure about the original comments. I think you might have done some more research after I told you about it. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. That's Taylor Lewin and who's the other fellow on that podcast?
Oh my gosh.
Putting you on the spot.
The linebacker from the Redskins. Oh, what I always forget his name.
Yeah.
He's funny though. He's a funny guy.
Yeah. So Will Compton. So those two guys had Mike Vrabel on, and the gist of it is do we have the clip where they have it? Let's just play the clip here.
The clip, you cutting your dick off, that went viral, kind of put us on the map. Did put us
kinda
on the map.
We don't need kinda. I would say that he has some sort of relationship with everybody in our building. Respond to him, him being the conductor, and you know, when the quarterback does stuff, then people are like, okay, we can. That's okay to do it.
How has your relationship developed with Miss Cardi B?
Good. I think she's absolutely hysterical. I'm like, this girl is hilarious.
It did.
Let's just call it what it is.
Would you cut your dick off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, been married 20 years. Yeah, probably.
And we know with the situation you've got, you talked about six, yeah. Well, for centimeters.
We know you're about the details.
So Mike Vrabel, when asked if he would cut off his member to win a Super Bowl, said that, well, I've been married for 20 years. I have kids. So, yeah, I'd probably cut it in half and leave her six. Ha, 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 ha. That was the joke there about 6 centimeters, not inches. But Mike, obviously a joke, but a little over the top, no?
That was one thing I said to you. I was like, straight cap, bro. He's not pulling the foot long out. But dude, chopping off your manhood, joking about it, that's the only time that's happening is when you're messing around with the boys, quote unquote. So it's just funny. The platforms that everybody has now, those kind of comments always seem to find the light of day. But if you look past the hilarity of it, it shows the true commitment that Mike Vrabel has to winning in every facet. He showed it as a player. He showed it during his multiple years in Tennessee. I think a lot of people question why he was ever let go from Tennessee after he was able to miraculously get, you know, just consistent play out of that offense and Ryan Tannehill, who wasn't even a quarterback. If you remember that, he was first a receiver and then transitioned to a quarterback in college. But he wants to win, and he wants to win bad. And I think there is something totally different for getting that first Super Bowl as a coach comparative to as a player, because there's just different work that goes into every facet, right? So should anybody be going down the road of cutting off your manhood to get a championship ring? I don't think so, but it makes for a great clip, man. And I got a chuckle out of that. I swear I probably heard it before, but that one, like, it's been a while since I've heard it. So when you texted me that, I was like, oh yeah, we got to have that on the list to talk about. This guy is crazy.
Yeah. And I think the way I teed it up too, I was just like hitting, like, cause we were like, what is the map of the show going to be? And I was just doing some bullet points like, oh, Darnold redemption, power substation, Vrabel cuts his dick off. And you were like, whoa, wait, whoa, pause. What is that? What is that? But yeah, man, the internet's forever. You know, you say one thing on a podcast these days and the sleuths are going to go back and dig it up, and they don't even have to really go too far. They just got to go to Twitter and type in like Mike Vrabel, and then they can see everything he said in the last 5 years. But yeah, at least I feel like he answered that question in a way where he's safe, because it didn't say like, it's not like if you win a Super Bowl, you have to do it. It's like, what would you do to win a Super Bowl? So he's like, I'm just going to let the cards fall where they may. But I agree, winning as a coach, much different than winning as a player, because I feel like a player only has so much responsibility, especially not anyone but the quarterback, basically. You can't really pin it on one player if they have a bad performance, whereas a coach probably feels some sense of responsibility for the whole team, especially if you're being the play caller, you know, having the final sign off on the guys who are the play callers. So I honestly, in everything I've seen from Vrabel in the past couple weeks leading up to this, like, it's hard not to like the guy. I said it early on in the stream. Like, he seems like a fun guy, a player's coach. I mean, I watched a clip where one of his big guys went down, broke something in his lower body, and Vrabel just kind of went up and like held his hand and was like, hey, you're going to be all right, big guy. Like, good work out there. You're going to be all right. And it's like, I know, like, there's a lot of coaches out there like that, and it's not unique to Mike Vrabel, but it's like, as an athlete myself, someone who grew up playing sports, being coached, like being a coach at some capacity, it's like, those are the moments that touch me. And I love to see a good coach that actually cares about his players. So in that regard, Mike, I think I'll be with you. I think I'll root for the Patriots in this one for several reasons, but one of them being that I kind of like Mike Vrabel, man. And I don't know a lot about the Seahawks coaching staff, and I like to keep it that way. But anyway, we got a few more topics here. I want to talk about the entertainment for the Super Bowl and two portions of it in particular, maybe kind of three, but mostly just two. And obviously, let's just get the big one out of the way. The Super Bowl halftime show obviously comes with a lot of scrutiny, if you will. Nobody's ever going to be happy with the choice. We saw it last year with Kendrick Lamar. We're seeing it again this year with the choice of Bad Bunny. But honestly, man, he just won Album of the Year at the Grammys. And so you're telling me you don't want the guy who has the best album of the last year to go up there and perform at the halftime show? And then Green Day is doing a pre-show thing?
Yes, sir. So Green Day is actually going to be doing the opening ceremony. So they're kind of doing it in the style of the Olympics, which is cool. I mean, it is a spectacle, right? So let me just go into this, Chris. I don't know if you had all this info. I'm sure you did. But we also know that Charlie Puth is going to be singing the national anthem.
Yes, sir.
Our guy Charlie. I don't mind me some Charlie. 11-time Grammy winner Brandi Carlile is going to sing America the Beautiful. And then R&B star Coco Jones will perform Lift Every Voice and Sing. It just seems like they keep adding more and more musical acts to the game every year, which is fine. But yeah, this is always a polarizing pick, it seems like, especially within the past 10 years, man. You can even speak back to like when Rihanna was picked. People were like, why is she doing it? She hasn't made music and, you know, like 8 years at that point. And obviously we know the hullabaloo that came with Kendrick last year, but look at the metrics. Like you said, every sports every sports organization as a whole, we talk about the NFL, what is everybody doing? They're trying to reach out further to the masses. You talk about the NFL doing all these games in France and overseas and next year in Mexico City again. You know, the NBA, the Phoenix Suns were part of the China games before the season or preseason. All of these major sporting organizations are trying to go out further. Bad Bunny just released his sixth studio album in January 2025. And what happened at the end of the year? He topped Spotify's most streamed artist in the world for the fourth time with more than 19.8 billion plays. So if you are trying to grow the game and get it to a global standpoint, where if you truly think of the Super Bowl and the metrics, yeah, it is the biggest game in America, but it still doesn't reach the standards of things like the Euro leagues and soccer and even cricket to a certain standpoint, Chris. You know what I'm saying? So you got to bring in these entities to perform. So you have people who have never watched football and never thought about watching football tuning in to maybe catch that interest and then become fans moving forward. And Bad Bunny is that specific type of guy to meet that.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you nailed it with like going for the global appeal. You see him playing games all over the world. You got Mexico City, Germany. I think there's a France game coming up. I'm sure I'm even missing a few. But yeah, I mean, you think about it. I just go looked it up because I was curious. And they estimate there's approximately 600 million Spanish speakers worldwide. And so 600 million out of the 8 billion, that's a very large percentage of the total global population. So why wouldn't you want someone that can reach all those people? And like you said, his streaming numbers speak for themselves with billions of plays on multiple songs. And that's just on like Spotify. And if you consider all the other places you can hear his songs, I'm sure it's even more ridiculous. So smart move by the NFL. Of course, again, you're not going to please everybody. There are going to be some people that aren't happy about it, but you can't try and please everyone because you're never going to be able to. Green Day, and then you think about even like within the generational aspect of it. Like, yeah, a lot of the older folks, even myself included, I mean, I do know who Bad Bunny is, obviously, but like a lot of older people are going to be like, I don't know what a Bad Bunny is. I've never heard of that before. But everyone knows who Green Day is, man. They've been around since like the early 90s and they've been relevant since the 90s. So you think about 20, 30 year career, obviously, you know, looking at them, they're looking a little bit old, but so are we, you know, and that's just how it goes. But they got some undeniable hits themselves. Yeah, I didn't actually know about the other two song performances. I did know about Charlie Puth, but that doesn't surprise me, man. I mean, that's really the whole thing. Like you said, it's a whole spectacle. It's not just a football game. The Super Bowl is like a show, and it is one of the most watched events, if not the most watched events in North America every single year. I personally like Charlie Puth a lot. I don't know if you've ever seen the clips, because he's a pretty buddy buddy with Jimmy Fallon, and he'll go on his show a lot, and he's a pretty good social media follow as well, because he's just like a brilliant musician, man. Like, he's one of those guys who just makes it look so easy and effortless, and can put together a really good sounding song with ease. And then it's a pretty good singer too, I think. And so him doing the national anthem, that'll be pretty cool, kick everything off. And then with the halftime show, man, my question is always, who is he gonna bring out? Who's he gonna bring out to perform with him? Last year, Kendrick Lamar had Samuel L. Jackson and Serena Williams. I think Snoop Dogg, maybe not Snoop Dogg, J-Rock. J-Rock was out there, right? But, you know, that was expected to see the TDE guys. But even a couple years back when it was, I don't even know, Dr. Dre, it was Dr. Dre and Eminem and 50 Cent and Snoop Dogg. And that was really cool, man. But this year, Bad Bunny, I don't know. I don't think they usually announce it beforehand. And my first instinct was like, well, Bad Bunny's Puerto Rican. Who is one of the greatest Puerto Rican musicians of all time? Daddy Yankee. Got to come out and do Gasolina. Got to go out and do Gasolina. But I did look it up. He said he's not going to do it. He's shift his focus in life. He's all about his family and faith now, which, okay, I respect that. But Mike, you were telling me in show prep, you got a theory as to who you think might make an appearance, right?
I have a theory, and I feel like it just makes sense. Before the height of Bad Bunny's powers, there was a very big song that came out with Cardi B and J Balvin called I Like It Like That. You know that song, Chris. That's my guess. I think he's going to bring out both of them. It only makes sense. Cardi B is going to be at the game. She's dating Stefan Diggs. So that's an easy call to make if they already didn't have that in the works beforehand. And J Balvin is one of the best Latin musicians out there as well. And I will say, one of the better collaborators with Jordan Brand, man. He's had some really hype shoes. His crazy colored, multicolored, like rainbow Jordan 1s were big hits a couple years ago. He just had his Medellin Jordan 3s come out over the past couple years too. So I got some love for J Balvin on a different aspect for music, but those are some of the biggest musicians still in the world today. Cardi's obviously not as big as she was at that one point. You know, Meg kind of took over for her for a little bit. And now I don't even know who are people putting Glorilla above her now. But I just think that makes the most sense. So if you're doing prop bets, put your money on Cardi B, at least Cardi B. That's the one that I would for sure be like, that's a home run. Give me that money.
I like that guess. That's like a very smart, well thought out guess. I'm seeing a few others here. Cardi B is one of them that has been predicted. Ricky Martin, although I think he's getting a little bit up there. Lady Gaga, I don't know what the connection is there, but everyone loves Lady Gaga. So it's like, I don't know, man. I just think either way, it's a fun little break in the game to watch, you know, a 15, 20 minute performance. Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. But the only other thing I wanted to not even really talk about, but just kind of like every year I have to mention it, is the Super Bowl commercials. It's something that was kind of close to me in my childhood. I loved, because I didn't, when I was really young, I didn't care that much about the actual game itself. It was more about going to the party, hanging out with the friends and the people you don't get to see a lot, and just having a good time. And the Super Bowl, admittedly, for my money, the Super Bowl commercials used to be a lot more funny and entertaining, and have kind of like, you know, drifted off a little bit in recent memory. But I still look forward to it, and I still like to watch the commercials just as much as, maybe not just as much as the game, but I do enjoy watching the commercials. It's funny, I was I don't want to say channel surfing because nobody really channel surfs anymore, but I think I was opening up YouTube TV to watch a game or something. And I saw that NBC or one of the networks was doing like they were literally doing like an hour long special of the greatest commercials of all time. And I was like, man, who's sitting there watching because are you going to have commercials for the show with commercials? So you're literally just sitting there for an hour watching nothing but commercials. But honestly, it sounds like something I would do if I didn't have anything else going on. But yeah, man, 2026 Super Bowl commercials are here, and apparently they're going to be weird. And we have seen some weird ones in the past, and there have been some clever ones too. I remember, I don't know if it was last year, a couple years ago, the one with like the channel change, and everyone freaked out and thought like somebody like sat on the remote or something. And then there was the one where they said like, hey Alexa, and like everyone's Alexa was going off and doing stuff. So those ones are fun. But man, this, I don't know what this is going to be an ad for, but Totino's, does that say? But I'm scared, Mike.
This is a little bit nightmare fuel. I don't want my Totino's to have eyes, be worried I've become a cannibal or something. Chris, this is one of the best parts about the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying from an aspect of me, right? I'm always looking forward to the game. I want to see a good game, and I want to see my bets hit, especially as they have become part of our everyday life nowadays. But the reason why I think this is part of the best game is because it creates an environment for everyone to watch. We all have those significant others who don't care about sports or don't really have investment in the game, this, that, or the other. But it is normally a general consensus for those who are not fans of sports that they will watch the game so they can watch the commercials. So what does that create? That creates a reason to have a party, a reason to have a gathering where everybody can sit, watch the game for those who care about it, and then watch the commercials for those who are invested within that. So everybody can see their long-term friends, family members, people they haven't seen in a while, and have an excuse to come together and sit down for 4 hours. That's why I love it so much. And that's why this game has the notoriety that it does, obviously in the US, but consistently growing throughout the world. So this white thing, I don't even know what the heck it was, but the Totino's with the eyes, pretty crazy. They keep getting clever and more clever every year. So I'm intrigued to see what we got in store this year.
Oh yeah. I can't wait. I think there's going to be some good ones. I think the writing's on the wall that the tide is turning. But the last thing I'll say about it is, boy, oh boy, do these companies shell out to get those 30-second spots. They're saying this year it's going to cost approximately $8 to $10 million for a 30-second ad. Let me try and do quick math here. 10 million divided by 30. So it's about $333,000 per second. That's crazy. That's like you could buy a house every second, but instead you're doing a Super Bowl commercial. But hey, I mean, obviously we talked about it with Bad Bunny, the global game, most watched thing. Like, that's why it costs so much, is because there's going to be so many eyeballs. I mean, literally, when you think about just this country, at least half of the country is going to be sitting down somewhere watching this game, like bare minimum, at least half of this country. And that's just in the United States of America. But yeah, plenty of entertaining things that are going to happen outside of the football game, and I look forward to it all. But Mike, the last thing I think, actually there's two more things we got to get to, but before we do, the betting odds, man, and the props. The Seattle Seahawks are a 4.5 point favorite on most markets, I believe. Total over under is 45.5 points. Looking at the past few Super Bowls, I think it's probably safe to smash the over on the total, right? This isn't betting advice yet, But we're gonna take a look at these, some of these props. We might even have a nice little parlay to have you join in on. FanDuel is my preference. Obviously, we have no sponsor as far as sports books go. But hey, wherever you're placing bets, it's always fun to have a little skin in the game, a little bit of action, because we know Michael Benjamin is all about that action, boss. And you know, I think last year we were really close. The Tallman ticket was it last year or the year before where he was only off by one leg?
His ticket. Was it last year where he had Piper? He was sitting on his couch with Piper. I don't know. It's been so long since we had a Tallman ticket. I want to say it was two Super Bowls ago. But you know, we get crazy with the Super Bowl SGPs. But Chris, can you do me a favor? Can you find the website where you have like the crazy prop bets, like the you know, the Gatorade color or who's going to win the coin toss and that kind of stuff? I feel like it's in FanDuel and that kind of stuff. They got to have some of it, but for the most part, a lot of this is still looking at, you know, like, okay, who's going to be your Super Bowl MVP, your general shortest touchdown scored, first to score, those kind of stuff. Man, and the way that people put together these parlays nowadays is just something special. I mean, people have made jobs out of this, so it's always crazy to see. But you got to pull up the special one, man, because that's where we get to see the cool stuff. It's almost like on those, like, you know, back end betting sites that are still on the black market, right?
Yeah, it was. I think a lot of those types of bets were like real prominent before sports betting was kind of like more broadly legalized. I thought it was Bovada.
That sounds right.
I'm trying to look now. I don't know if maybe if they've gone a little more legit because they can now. But I thought I did see. Let's see if I can. Covers.com. Gatorade. So here's one. Oh, BetMGM has it. At least the Gatorade color one.
Okay.
I'll pull this up here. We can take a look at least at that one, and maybe we could try and find some of the other ones. Because I think there was one last year where it was like, how many times will Taylor Swift be shown throughout the broadcast, and different ones like that. But you got the Gatorade color one here. So it's orange is +225. Yellow/lime/green. And I'm not really happy that BetMGM spelled yellow wrong here.
No shot. They did.
Unless I'm dumb. YELOW. Isn't there two L's in yellow?
Oh, I just couldn't see it. I didn't have it zoomed in. Is incorrect. That is incorrect.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. But then you got blue. So the top three are orange, yellow, or blue. And then you got some more out of color ones. There is a purple, red, pink, or water/clear. A water. Have we ever seen a water dump? I don't think you do that. But
no.
Let's see if it's always Gatorade. Has some other fun ones. Yeah, it's always Gatorade. Oh, they're not going to give it to me very easily, huh? But yeah, not. So. I wish I had taken the time to look these up earlier in the day, but yeah, those ones are always fun. But yeah, I think you're right, Mike. They are usually on the less what do I try and say here respectfully, the less reputable betting sites. And by no means am I saying BetMGM is less reputable. I mean, they have Jamie Foxx as their spokesperson. So, or is it Denzel Washington? Or it might be both of them, to be honest with you.
No, it was Jamie for the longest time. He might still be it, but I feel like I don't watch enough television with general commercials.
Yeah.
I have YouTube Premium, so I don't ever have commercials, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I wouldn't know nowadays. But basically, for nowadays, obviously the major props are, you know, over-unders, receiving yards, rushing yards, and Chris, we got together. We put it together and we're ready to show it to the people. So I'll just introduce this one for the people so I can get it ready here.
Yeah, man. So we've done this kind of inspired by FanDuel, to be honest. They started it back around Thanksgiving, and they called it the Pass the Leg Parlay, where essentially you could enter a few props and send it to your friend. Your friend adds a few props and they send it to the next friend, and so on until you got this big parlay and however many friends you want to include on it. And they've done it a couple more times. I think they did it for Christmas and they're even doing it again for this one. And so we were inspired by that. So we put our heads together and we said, all right, let's each pick three legs for a same game parlay. And we'll all choose our three best props or lines, whatever you want to call them. And we're going to put it all together in one 9-leg parlay. And then we're going to give it to the people so that they can join us. And I think we tried to be, you know, smart about this to some extent. And it was backed by a little bit of science and a little bit of research. I think there might be a couple of gut picks in here too, but I honestly feel pretty good about it. There are a couple that I think we're definitely going to be having to watch till the very end. I don't expect this will hit by halftime by no means, but I think there's a lot of promise. So let's take a look when Mike is ready here and we'll present this ticket for you. Mike, do you want me to go down it, or do you want to do the honors here?
Let me do the honors, because I also got to preface it. We're going to share this on our social media platforms the day of the game. So this is a working title in progress. We already talked about, it seems like it's been eons since a Tallman ticket has hit the airwaves. So it just was easy to go with a ticket, but we're workshopping the title of this thing. So hey, put it in the comments if you've got a good one. It has to be Valley Sports related, and obviously has to be betting related. So, but we're starting this one off, I think, with one of the easier legs, if I might say so myself, with Jackson Smith and Jigba 60 plus yards alternate receiving. Then we have the tight end from the Patriots, Hunter Henry, 20 plus yards receiving. Good old reliable Cooper Kupp, who, when we talk about, we're holding out hope for something to hit. He was the guy in the last bet that I hit, I was holding out for, but he has gotten a lot more play or a lot more targets over the past couple of games, 20 plus yards receiving for him. Mac Hollins, is he the second or third receiver for the Patriots?
I think he's the third. I don't want to be as disrespectful as to say fourth, but I think the third.
Okay, but he is a consistent guy who gets targets as well, big target, kind of gets that jump ball action, and that play, 2+ receptions, has been hitting basically just like clockwork over the past couple of games, as well as a couple of other ones that you're going to see here. We went with both of the backs, Ramondre Stevenson and Kenneth Walker III, 70+ yards rushing and receivings combined. We know Chris already talked about, you know, the two-headed monster of Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson. Stevenson has really taken over that backfield and has got the majority of the carries and the catches over the past five games, I would say. And then with Zach Charbonnet getting hurt, I know they did have George Halal. Was that his name? George Halani? My apologies. Mm-hmm. Who gets a target or two, gets a carry or two, but we know it is the Kenneth Walker show in that backfield. So we went with 70+ rushing and receiving with both of them. And then we also had to double down on Kenneth. 3+ receptions. He's done that, I think, past four games. Anytime touchdown, Kenneth Walker. He was the first one to score in that NFC Conference Championship. And then we know Drake May consistently getting out of the pocket. And with this Seattle defense, I think, you know, he might be under duress sometimes. Went with an easy 20+ yards. And if you're looking at throwing $25 on this, it's +1444. You're looking at about $360 coming back to your pocket. Now, when we were putting this all together, VSP Tallman is the anytime touchdown guy. And when I had brought up Drake May, he wanted that anytime touchdown, which would have changed this to +4,000 odds. So you were looking at making over a grand. So if you want to switch out Drake May 20 plus and put anytime touchdown score, there you go. But like you said, Chris, we wanted to make this a little bit more palatable. We wanted to make this something that you can really look at and say, some of these numbers are lower, but some of them are higher. So we're going to be waiting towards the fourth quarter to see these hit, but you're still going to get a nice chunk of change back. And these are all key catalysts for both these teams that are going to have plenty of opportunities to get this done for us, man. That's the big ticket for you there, baby.
Yeah, Mike. I really like this, honestly. I mean, there isn't a leg on here that I think is gonna be a true, like, honest to God nail biter. I think maybe the one if I'm being completely honest with you and the people, the one I'm the most nervous about is maybe the Ramondre Stevenson one, just because Travion Henderson is also a really good back, although he has been quite a bit more inconsistent in recent form. Ramondre Stevenson has been around a little bit longer, has that, I don't want to say veteran, you know, air about him. He's only been in the league for 4 or 5 years, but Travion Henderson is a rookie at the end of the day. And I think there's a big opportunity there. You can look at this and say, asking Kenneth Walker to do a lot, but I mean, that's their main guy. And he did just show out in the NFC championship game. And he had Zach Charbonnet opposite of him, who was stealing goal line touches and was getting a good amount of yards himself. And I'm probably mispronouncing his name, so you can correct me if you want, but now he's out. And George Helani or Helani, or however we said it. See, I don't even know. I don't think he's going to be that big of a factor to where he's going to take away from Ken Walker. And when you look at the total line, 45.5, that means that the books are expecting 6 total touchdowns in this game. So they got to come from somewhere. So I like Ken Walker. Again, if you're really feeling frisky and want to add some legs here, JSN, you could probably add him in to boost us up a little bit, come out to a nice even 10 legs. Or even like Mike said, instead of swapping out the 20-yard Drake May, keep the 20-yard Drake May and add the Drake May touchdown, and you can pay your rent with that bet if that hits, honestly. But you know, we, like Mike said, we wanted to keep this a little more close to the vest, something a little more realistic that we could see hitting, and this is going to be the ticket I'm riding with. I already placed my bet. I got money on it. I got skin in the game. So we're going to be pulling for this one. And honestly, I know we're going to be putting some more bets out there. We're probably not going to share with you, but let us know what your bets are. You can share with us. We shared one with you. You can share one with us. Let us know what you're doing, because sharing is caring, and we could all have a chance to make some money and steal from these sports books, man.
And the major thing to remember is that we are not financial advisors. We do it for the fun of the game. Chris showed us his overall lifetime stats, which I think he was $1.91 in the green or something like that. It's all about fun. It never hurts to have a little bit of scratch on this big game, man. I'm super excited. And if most of you guys know me, I have been dipping my toes a little bit more over the past year into betting, but this is always my Super Bowl of betting. And it's funny that it is Super Bowl. This is my time to shine. So that's the ticket. I'm excited, man.
Yeah, and honestly, Tallman and I love to see this version of Michael, because him and I are always chopping it up, betting on random Tuesday night basketball games. And Mike's really been excited leading up to the Super Bowl. So we're all three going to get together and watch this. We're going to be watching our ticket. We're going to be placing a lot of bets. And I love, during the Super Bowl, doing the drive bets, where it's like, who's going to catch a pass on the second drive? Is there going to be a score? So I'll be placing some of those throughout the game as well. But yeah, not financial advice. We're just having fun here. Honestly, I do think this has a good chance, though. So I'm trying to speak it into existence. I'll knock on wood, all that superstitious stuff. But Mike, before we get out of here, we do have one final matter at hand, and it is just you and I for this one. I know normally this type of stream, we have a big group, but because we had to move it to Thursday, it was not everyone was available, and that's okay. But nevertheless, we owe it to the people to give them our Super Bowl 60 predictions. Yes, we've talked about every angle of this game, but now we need to make our predictions. I know we're both rooting for the Patriots, but Mike, I'll give it to you first. Who is going to win this game?
Now, saying that I'm rooting for anybody is a little bit of a stretch, right? If there was a preference, I would prefer for the Seattle Seahawks to not win. So if you want to label me as rooting for the Patriots, that's totally fine. That's fine. I will live with that. But Chris, like I said, I think this one has a chance to be an instant classic at the end of the day. And we're going to give the game winner. I'm going to give a score prediction as well. And like I said, while I am hoping that the Seattle Seahawks do not win this game, Super Bowl 60, I cannot believe we are at Super Bowl 60 already. I just think that the Seattle Seahawks are going to be too much for the New England Patriots, man. their offense is clicking at the right time. Their defense, in regard to metrics, has been close to top five in every category pretty much all year. You know, they got a game record when you talk about Leonard Williams. They have some really good corners, and Devin Witherspoon and Reek Woolen, who almost cost them last week or 2 weeks ago with his, you know, taunting penalty. They got some good safeties, Kobe Bryant. I know there was some scares. People were seeing Nick Amonwori, is that his name, getting out of a car. He had an ankle injury, and he was limping heavily, and the game is just around the corner. But I just don't know if there's enough offensive firepower to match up with the Seattle defense. And Seattle's offense is just rolling at an all-time high right now. So I'm going with Seattle winning in another NFC West rivals home in Levi's Stadium. And I'm going 31-27. So the Patriots, if you do look at the spread, they will cover the spread with that 4 points right there. But you talk about the MVP, you always start to see a bunch of random names going out. People saying JSN. People are throwing out Cooper Kupp, man. I saw some experts picking Cooper Kupp. And then obviously you always start to see a little bit in regard to defensive players like DeMarcus Lawrence, Milton Williams. But we know this is a quarterback-driven league. And I think if just how Jalen Hurts did what he needed to last year, Sam Darnold will do the same, probably throw for over 200 yards, throw for two touchdowns, and it'll be an easy, comfortable pick to go with Sam Darnold as the MVP. The ghosts have left him. He has made the complete return. I just can't believe it, man. The eighth-year wonder, Sam Darnold, will be the 2026 Super Bowl 60 MVP. And that's what I got, Chris. Do I love it? Absolutely, I don't love it. But I try to be a realist. But take my realism with a grain of salt, because you guys have seen my Arizona Cardinals predictions, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, we sure have it. But hey, you weren't the only one with the Cardinals predictions, man. I don't know if anyone could have seen that season coming. But Mike, I hear you. You know, rooting against one team is not the same as rooting for another, necessarily. So while we are to some extent going to be rooting against the Seahawks, that does not mean we're rooting for the Patriots. But obviously, someone's got to win. They aren't going to end in a tie. It's not possible. So I am with you. As much as I love to be cautiously optimistic and all that when it comes to our sports teams, I think if I'm being unbiased and realistic here, the Seahawks are favorited for a reason. And it's a 4.5 favorite for a Super Bowl is a pretty wide margin, if I'm being honest. I also think for me, although the weather was a massive factor, that Broncos game didn't instill a lot of confidence for me in the Patriots. I think when you think about the youth of Drake May, it's not like he had a great season last year and then he just elevated it that much more this year. Like, he didn't have a tremendous, I mean, I wouldn't say it was a bad season last year, but it wasn't like world breaking to where he just came up short. Versus, you know, so not to say the moment's going to be too big for him or the young inexperience is going to come to play, but you'd be naive to say that that isn't at least a partial factor. You can coach a young guy up as much as you want, but he's never been here before. Now, neither is Sam Darnold, but with that being said, I would also believe that it will be the Seahawks. And my final score, I was going to go a little higher, I think maybe just because I want to see a shootout. But when I come back down to earth, my prediction is a 31-17 Seahawks victory. I could see the Patriots scoring another touchdown there. And that would put them up at 24-31. But at the end of the day, yeah, the Seahawks are going to take this one. And Mike, maybe you and I are Brian Gregory and Matt Ishbia over here being in alignment, because it's got to be MVP Sam Darnold completing full circle the redemption arc and just really cementing himself as him and coming into the spotlight as a premier quarterback in this league and cementing and bookending just such a tremendous season for him and the Seahawks. And I hate it. But at the end of the day, you know, they say you got to beat the best to be the best. And if the Cardinals want to be considered a great football team, they're going to have to beat teams like the Seahawks. And I love that this article that you had pulled up there as you take it down had a Cardinals player in the picture getting stiff arm. But so maybe a little bit poetic. And we did talk about it. I hate to keep talking about what we talked about, but there is no, we, it was on the Heat Check podcast. I asked you guys if there was any similar like vibes as college football, where, you know, you kind of say you can root for the conference, keep it in the pack, you know, keep it in the state, root for U of A if you're an ASU fan, if they're in the tournament, which, you know, some ASU fans might not like me saying that, but at the end of the day, it's not the same here, where I'm not going to be rooting for an NFC West team. It's always going to be fuck them. And I do hope that the Seahawks lose, but the realist in me, which doesn't come out a lot, thinks that the Seahawks are going to win this one and do it pretty handily. But at the end of the day, I'm just hoping for a good game, which I think is probably the view of most people. So we'll just have to see what happens there. And yeah, man, I'm excited. Mike, is there any last thoughts you have heading into Super Bowl 60 this weekend?
No, I think, man, out of the only best, the best case scenario, I think, which would have happened is if the Buffalo Bills could have pulled it out and made it to the Super Bowl, and it would have been Seahawks versus Bills. That would have been the game that I wanted the most, because, you know, pulling for Josh Allen, this was going to be the perfect year for him to actually have the red carpet to make it there, with Patrick Mahomes going down, Lamar Jackson and company not even making the playoffs. So this is the next best case scenario, I guess, with a young up and coming quarterback that a lot of New England Patriots fans and the works think is going to be the future superstar and another face for that franchise moving forward. We'll see if he has the merit to get it done really early within his career. I think if he is just absolutely dominant in this game, Chris, we will be in for a world of hurt. And then we can start talking about the same kind of Tom Brady era for the next couple of years. And then the narrative changes at that point. But until then, the best teams, I think, for who were the healthiest at the end of the year are still in it. And that's going to make for a great game. I cannot wait to be out at the Tallman's on Sunday. Going to have some drinks. Going to have some hot dogs, burgers, have a grand old time. I'm going to put in some parlays. I mean, it's just it's like Christmas, man. It's second to Christmas. It's the best time of the year, man. I can't wait. So ready for the game on Sunday.
That's true. It's like, if I'm honestly shocked that the Super Bowl isn't a national holiday, or at least the day after, like make it a national holiday, give us all Monday off, because we want to have some fun on Sunday. We want to stay up late. And granted, the game does start at 4:30, so it'll be over at a reasonable hour, all that, yada, yada, yada. But and drink responsibly. But yeah, Mike, I think I agree. It would have been awesome to see the Bills in this game. But at the end of the day, I feel like beggars can't be choosers, right? And we just can be grateful that there's no Chiefs, there's no Eagles, there's no 49ers. And yeah, maybe it is a little bit of a less sexy matchup without there being any like real superstar names out there. But I think there's a lot of up and coming names and still a lot of good angles and narratives. And like you said, healthy players and some good football to watch. So I'm excited, man. I'm really excited. As you said, we'll be out at the Tallman's. Maybe we'll get some content while we're out there. We'll repost the ticket so you can go find it out on all our social medias. And those social medias are down in the link in the description below on our link tree. You can follow us at AZ_VSP on Instagram, X, TikTok, and so much more. Of course, right here on YouTube, we do go live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. You can set that notification bell to get the notification, or you can watch us. You can watch us immediate playback, or you can listen next day, audio only, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, so much more. But this was a lot of fun, Mike. I always enjoy doing these previews and all of our streams. Always a pleasure, never a chore, as the brothers Miller would say. Go check out our stream from Tuesday. It was a fun VSP live. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. Have fun this weekend. Be safe. Be merry. And we'll see you next time. Peace.
For one last time, this is Al McCoy saying thanks for being there. Thanks for being with us tonight. And from the Footprint Center here in downtown Phoenix, we'll just say so long for now.